We're Elkhorn Computer, and we do commercial repair and setup. With Elkhorn Computer, your business will experience profitability through productivity. Give us a try. Visit elkhorncomputer.com, then give us a call. elkhorncomputer.com. Click the microphone icon for a free mouse pad.
Game time, 1620 The Zone, 1620thezone.com, 1620thezone mobile app. Welcome in. Final hour here on a Wednesday. Tomorrow on the show, Kugler, Danny Woodhead. We'll catch up with Brian Munson as well as we are getting closer and closer to the early signing period. Joked yesterday about all the Husker football assistant coaches that were in Wandale Robinson's living room. If you haven't seen that picture, there was eight Husker coaches went to visit Wandale Robinson in his in-home visit, and that picture was, I mean, usually you see one, maybe two, eight. If you ever wanted to know how much the Nebraska staff cares about Wandale Robinson, I think that picture speaks volumes, you know?
Not two, yeah. Not three, nope. Not four, not five, nope. Not six, nope. Not seven.
Most applicable thing I've ever heard in my life. That was Wandale Robinson as he watched all the assistant coaches walk in. But we'll talk to Brian tomorrow on a big, fat, juicy recruiting update with B. Munson at the 1 o'clock hour. Greg McDermott in about 15 minutes from now. And speaking of Greg McDermott, I got an email from Tom. Said, Nick, what were your impressions of the way Creighton played against Nebraska? And are you worried about how that game went? So first of all, no, I'm not worried about on how that game went. I think a part of the reason, and again, we're just speaking from a Creighton perspective here, I think a part of the reason why I feel so good about things with Creighton right now is Creighton's way better than I thought they'd be. This team is further along than I thought they'd be. Now, a lot of that is a product of relative to what your expectation level was, but when I think about what my expectation level was going into this year, and then think about what the first three games looked like, and then I think about how Creighton has looked the past 4 weeks or so, I'm pretty darn encouraged. I'm pretty encouraged. And having watched a ton of Big East basketball and watching Butler and Xavier live, I think Creighton's better than those teams, or at the very least on par with both those teams, which is a good feeling if you're a Creighton fan. And, you know, as far as the Nebraska game, and I know we're a few days removed from that, but, like, listen, Creighton had a game plan on paper that was very sound. Nebraska, not a great three-point shooting team. They are great at getting to the rim and getting a ton of points from the free throw line. So the plan was pack the paint, don't foul, force jumpers. If someone would have said, all right, Mr. Bob, we need your signature. If you agree with this game plan, you just sign right there, an initial there. You know what I would have done? I'd have gone, let me get my pen out, sign here, and an initial there. And here's the thing. Sometimes we go into a game and say, well, you know, if we're going to load up on this, and if the opposition does that, then what are you going to do? Nebraska answered the bell, and that's why you got to take your hat off to them. They made 14 threes. Sometimes in sports you just have to shake a team's hand and say, good work. Good work. You know what? There were a lot of teams in taking on a guy like Tommy Armstrong for years that would take on Nebraska and say, you know what? If Tommy Armstrong throws three touchdown passes and beats us with his arm, we'll shake his hand. And you know what, Tommy? A few games did. Some games he didn't. So that's how I viewed the plan heading in and how it went. I was worried about Creighton being emotionally ready for the game. You know, first true road game. Keep in mind, I think somebody like Creighton has eight freshmen and sophomores on their roster. Like, they are a really young team. And a lot of these guys haven't been in this situation. And Pinnacle Bank Arena, especially considering all that was going into that game, don't kid you. That's going to be the toughest environment Creighton plays in all year. Easy. That was a lot to deal with. And I think the environment shook those guys for a little bit, but there is so much to learn and grow from with all that. And I was actually pretty pleased with Creighton's no-quit attitude. They got down 20-plus. They could have packed it in. Said, let's go start the bus, head back down I-80. But they fought, almost got back in the game. And to me, again, that's pretty encouraging. And there are going to be so many good things that Coach McDermott can show on film to the team from that game. And at this point, with a young team, you need to always be learning and improving as much as anything else. And sometimes it takes mistakes in a big environment and a big game to truly grow. You know, the 50-50 loose balls, long rebounds, that the guys didn't track down, the turnovers in big moments. All those things are going to land more when they are done in a big game and shown on film. I mean, Greg McDermott can scream all he wants at those guys in practice. Dive after that loose ball. Come on, you got to block out. Go get the ball. Take care of the ball. But for some, it doesn't fully resonate and fully land until it costs them a game. And for as much as the hot shooting from beyond the arc was enormous for Nebraska, I think the fact that Creighton got outworked was probably just as big. And I think watching film, the guys will see that. And I would assume they're going to learn from it. So I just think there's going to be a lot of great teaching moments in that game that the Jays will learn from. And when you take that and combine it with the fact that this team is ahead of where I thought they'd be, again, I can only speak for myself. I don't know what you thought and what you thought. I think when you combine all that, I feel pretty good about Creighton right now. I would say I'm pleasantly surprised. And in some ways, they're right on track from where I thought they'd be from a record prediction standpoint. The only thing that is different is I thought Creighton heading into the year would beat Ohio State and lose a game in the Cayman Islands. But they lost to Ohio State and they won the Cayman Islands, but I thought they'd lose to Gonzaga. I thought they'd lose to Nebraska. So we'll see how the rest of the non-con shakes out, but that's kind of where things are at right now for me with Creighton. And I'm curious to get Coach McDermott's thoughts on that. He's going to stop by here in a little bit. It was interesting popping around the internet last night, and actually got this from a Sips Driving for Six blog, where Paul Meyerberg and USA Today put out their top 10 2019 Heisman candidates for next season. And if you're wondering, a certain someone by the name of Adrian Martinez is on the list. He's seventh on the list. And the list is as follows. It's Tua from Bama, you know, Dwayne Haskins and Trevor Lawrence, quarterback Clemson, Jonathan Taylor, Travis Etienne from Clemson, the running back, you know, Justin Herbert from Oregon, Rondell Moore, Mackenzie Milton. And so am I surprised to see Martinez on that list? Not at all. I mean, that the talent, undeniable. I mean, totally undeniable. It jumps off the screen. Dude's a big-time player. So I'm not surprised at all to see him on the list. In fact, I think, I mean, five games into the year, you know, I said this guy's going to be a Heisman candidate one day. Well, that day could be a lot sooner than we think. But my main takeaway from it was, instead of listing off the names, if you just list off the schools that are represented, you can kind of look at it differently. So it's Bama, Ohio State, Clemson, Wisconsin, Oregon, Central Florida. Like, what do all those teams have in common besides having a Heisman candidate, potentially? All those teams are really, really good teams. Like college football playoff contender, conference champion contender, 10, 11 win type teams that you're talking about. And when you look at that and look at Nebraska and think, okay, Nebraska won 4 games. They've gone 4-8 the past 2 years heading into 2019. For Martinez to legit be on this list and stay inside that velvet rope with that esteemed company, Nebraska has to win. And that is the next step, in my opinion, for Adrian Martinez to take. Because that's kind of the cliche thing you think about. You know, what's the next step? When I think about what the next step is for Adrian Martinez, I think about all he does translating to winning. And I get it. I know. I mean, football is the ultimate team sport. He can't block. He can't go be, you know, play D end. He can't go be the punter. He can't tackle defense. Like, but still, that's the nature of the quarterback position. Probably gets too much credit when they win, too much blame when they lose. That's the nature of the beast, though. Because we always love to talk about wins and losses with quarterbacks. And we all know that Adrian Martinez is going to be a stat machine, right? His numbers were off the charts this year. And, you know, it stands to reason to think that those numbers are only going to continue to grow. So can all his talents, all his tools, and all his stats translate to winning? To me, that is the next step for Martinez. Because, you know, a few weeks ago when the all-conference teams came out and Adrian Martinez wasn't first or second team or third team all-conference, I wasn't as up in arms over it. I get, would I rather have this guy or that? I mean, there are lots of times I'd rather have Martinez. But I'm also a kind of guy that, you know, to the victor go the spoils, right? I mean, for me to put you second team all-conference, you probably got to win more than three conference games. You just do. And I'm not saying that's all on Martinez, but that's, the nature of the beast. You know, the Heisman Trophy candidates, Haskins, Tua, Kyler Murray, all three won their conference, all three really good, two of the three in the playoff. Like, you got to win. And you guys know me, I love Martinez, love him. And I think he's going to get held to a high standard, and he should. So to me, when I look at that Heisman list, my main thought was, man, for Martinez to stay in that company, Nebraska has to win and win pretty big. And that is the challenge that Martinez faces. The next step in his quest, if you will, in Lincoln. Can his incredible talents and incredible physical tools and then jaw-dropping stats translate to winning? That's it. Does Martinez have the talent to win the Heisman? Absolutely. Does Martinez have the overall impact to win big? That's the question. I think I know the answer to that question, and I can't wait to see it play out. Because something that's easy to forget, I know I do, I forget about it sometimes, is you have to remember, this is a guy that played a lot of last year, probably not fully 100%, right? Still coming off that shoulder injury, hadn't played in a year, hurts his knee, first game of the season. Like, it's not the craziest thing to say, man, there's a lot of growth still to be had for a guy like Adrian Martinez, which is a pretty exciting thought for Husker fans and for Scott Frost. Because to think about Martinez improving, oh my God. I mean, wow. 402-951-1620. All right. Coming up next, let's catch up with the head Jay himself, Greg McDermott. Lots to talk about with the Jays right now. Coach Mac stops by next. One, two, three, let's go. Let's go.